Welcome to Victory Bible Time, sponsored by Victory Baptist Church of Codin, Alabama. Victory Bible Time appreciates your listening to the broadcast each time and pray it is a blessing to you. And stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast for the address. The speaker is Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. And now, Brother Reed.
Well, greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're delighted to have you with us again today by radio. We hope and pray that the radio broadcast is a blessing to all. Now, we're taking our text today from Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, and this has to do with the Lord's Prayer, the title of our message today is The Fatherhood of God. So let me read from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. This is the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that He taught His disciples to pray when they asked Him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And so notice as we read from this text, verse 9, And after this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, we do ask thy blessings and anointing upon the reading of Holy Scripture today. And Father, we pray for that soul that's nearest hell, that they come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. We also pray for the saints, that they would be edified in the faith. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, again, we're so thrilled to be able to come to you by radio, and we do hope that the radio broadcast will be a blessing, especially the subject today as we consider the fatherhood of God. Now, let me make mention of some resources that are available before we actually get into our text and our message here today. You can find us on the web at biblicaltruth.info. That is biblicaltruth.info, I-N-F-O. You can also find us at sermonaudio.com. That is sermonaudio.com. If you go to sermonaudio.com, you would need to go to the sidebar and find the section titled Speakers. Type in my name, which is Robert Reed. That would carry you to our home page. If you go to biblicaltruth.info, that takes you automatically to our personal website. And the reason I give you both of these sites is that we have hundreds, literally hundreds, of sermons and articles that are available to you free of charge. The articles are basically a sermon in print, and then the sermons, most of them are full-length sermons that have been preached in our church. As we preach by radio, we are more limited in our time as we have in our church. And so some of the same subjects that I deal with in our church, I preach on the radio. The only difference is that those in the church are about twice as long. I hope that you'll take advantage of these resources. Well, now let us come to Matthew chapter 6. And my intent here today is not to preach on the Lord's Prayer, but to preach a message titled The Fatherhood of God. And I want to take verse 9, the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, and focus in on the fatherhood of God. Now, when we come to the Holy Scripture, we find that the fatherhood of God is one of the most dominant attributes mentioned in Holy Scripture, especially in the New Testament. The title Father designates the first person of the Holy Trinity and reveals the nature and character of God. God is constantly referred to as our Father in the Bible. To give you an example, in Ephesians 3, verse 14, it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Again, in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, now this is just one book out of the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse 6, we have these words, and it says, God says here in verse 6, "One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." And then again in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, we have these words, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, we have a very similar statement. And he says here, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Colossae, he said, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." And these are just a few passages in reference to the fatherhood of God. So, the expression here, "our Father," in verse 9, notice this, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The very beginning of the Lord's Prayer is "our Father." The very first two words is "our Father." Then he goes on to say, "which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We need to understand that the fatherhood of God, this subject reveals the heart of God. In other words, in this title, the fatherhood of God, this reveals the heart of God. It actually shows our relationship to God as His dear children, and shows also a father's role in the family. The father is representative of God to his children, and if the children see the love of their earthly father, more than likely they will see the love of their heavenly Father also. So as we come to Holy Scripture, this is a very important subject, and again, the fatherhood of God is one of the most dominant attributes that we find in the Scripture, one of the most dominant attributes of God in the Scripture, especially in the New Testament. I repeat myself again, is that the title Father designates the first person of the Holy Trinity and reveals the nature and character of God. Now, there's three things I want to briefly speak to you today about when we talk about the fatherhood of God. Number one is that fatherhood speaks of relationship. Number two, fatherhood speaks of discipline. And number three, fatherhood speaks of love. Now, number one, fatherhood speaks of relationship. The word father, again, whether this is referring to God or to earthly fathers, the word father speaks of a special relationship. We have, as Christians, a special relationship to our Heavenly Father. Children should have a special relationship to their earthly father. Now, God is the Father of all of humanity, in the sense of creation. We would see that in Psalms 68 in verse 5, in the book of Acts in chapter 17, verse 26. He is also referred to as the Father of Israel in the Old Testament, in that the nation owed its origin and continued existence to God's special care as a father. We would see that in the book of Exodus, chapter 4, verse 22, chapter 4, verse 22, and Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 6. Also, God is referred to as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is in a unique way. In other words, by incarnation. By incarnation, that is Christ taken up on human flesh, we find that Jesus Christ is uniquely the Son of God. Then, fourthly, we find, and this is what we're talking about today, we find that God is the Father of every believer by redemption or adoption. Now, that is very plain in the Scripture. Now, let us think about this for a moment. In the Garden of Gethsemane, in Mark chapter 4 and verse 36, as the Lord Jesus Christ was praying, we find an expression that is used there that is also used of the believer. That's Mark chapter 14 and in verse 36. This is while he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying in connection with our sins to be placed upon him and him to take the judgment of God upon himself. And he said this in verse 36. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. The word Abba, A-B-B-A. This word is used three times in the New Testament. And here we find the Lord Jesus Christ praying to his heavenly Father as the Son of God. He prays the night before he's crucified, the night before he goes to the cross. And he's praying a fervent prayer here in the garden. And he uses the word Abba. And this word expresses warm affections and tenderness. This reveals the beautiful relationship between the Father and the Son. Again, this word expresses warm affections and tenderness. Now, what is interesting about this is that two other places in the New Testament where this word is used, it is used in reference to the Christian. To give you an example, in Romans 8 and verse 15, I'll begin reading in verse 14. He says, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God. Notice how this word is used, verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of a bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, this is a father-son relationship, or father-daughter relationship. This reveals the beautiful relationship which the Father and the Son had. But it also reveals the beautiful relationship between the Christian and their Heavenly Father. You see, in verse 9 of this chapter, if any person, if any man does not have the Spirit of God in him, he is none of Christ. It is the Spirit of God that gives us eternal life. When we're born again, we're born of the Spirit. And when we receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're receiving the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God that dwells in us. Our body becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so we see the importance of this subject. And so when we see the word Abba, we see it again, by the way, in the book of Galatians in chapter 4. It is used in Galatians chapter 4 in verse 6, in Galatians chapter 4, and in verse 6, and it says, And because your sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And so it's used once in reference to Christ, showing the special relationship between God the Father and God the Son. And it's used twice in Romans and Galatians in reference to the sons and daughters of God. In other words, the Christians. And so what I'm trying to say here today is that this is the language of sonship. We're no longer a slave, as the Bible speaks in Galatians. The spirit of adoption helps us to realize our relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. We are God's children by faith, whether we be a Jew, Gentile, whatever. We are now part of the household of God with favor and blessings as sons and daughters of God. And so this is an amazing word. And it's used not only of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's used also for every believer. And it basically has the ideal, Abba, has the ideal of Daddy. This is the language of children. And so this is a very important passage that we find here in the Holy Scripture. We are now part of the household of God. And as Christ prayed to the Heavenly Father and said, Abba, Father, we also have the privilege and the right to come before our Heavenly Father because of Jesus Christ and what He accomplished at Calvary for us. And we can now refer to the Father as Abba, Father. This is an amazing thing. And you see, the word Father has the idea of being a protector, provider, nourisher, and upholder. And it is synonymous in the Bible with ancestor, originator, or founder, as in Genesis chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. And so when we come here and think about the fatherhood of God, first of all, in our first point, it speaks of relationship. It speaks of relationship. We as Christians have a unique and personal relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. And it's just very important that we understand that. We have a relationship with the Father by faith in Jesus Christ, trusting in His blood at Calvary's cross, believing the gospel of Jesus Christ and putting our faith in Him. We have this unique relationship, and we can refer to our Heavenly Father as Abba, Father. In other words, this expresses again a warm affections and tenderness, and this is the language of children. It has the ideal of Daddy. Many children call their father Daddy, and that's the thought that we find in this particular passage. Now, the second thing I want to point out to you today is that fatherhood speaks of discipline. In other words, we have a unique relationship with our Heavenly Father, but fatherhood also speaks of discipline. And when I think of this, there's a number of passages that come to mind. One is Hebrews chapter 12, 5 through 14, and it speaks of chastening. As a matter of fact, in verse 5, it says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him." What do we see in earthly fathers? We see the fact that they will discipline. They not only have a relationship with their children and love them, but they will discipline them. They will chasten them. Why? So that they will be pleasing unto them. God will chasten us as believers, as children, so that we will be pleasing unto Him. God will chasten us. The word chasten means to teach, nurture, instruct, or discipline. Chastening speaks of relationship between a father and a child, as in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. In Revelation 3:19, God says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." So we must not view discipline apart from God, for all that comes into our life, God either brings it or either God permits it. As one writer put it this way, he said, if God never carried us into the wilderness, he would never hear from us. And so as a parent, we are to discipline our children. That's what Ephesians 6:4 says. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As our Heavenly Father desires obedience from his children, earthly fathers should desire the same from their children. And again, we would see that many places in the book of Proverbs, as chapter 13:24, chapter 22:15, chapter 23:14-15, and chapter 29:15. And those are just a few. God even disciplined Adam and Eve, his first children, in the garden, in paradise. In other words, after they sinned, he provided clothing for them in his love and placed them outside the garden in his discipline. The nation of Israel in the Old Testament, their origin continued throughout the Old Testament, and still yet in God's love. And at the same time he loved them, he also chastened them. He had to discipline them. He had to deal with them over their sins, because a loving father requires obedience of his children. Well, the last thing that we see here in the scripture is that the fatherhood speaks of love. Now, first of all, we said it speaks of relationship. Number two, it speaks of discipline. And number three, it speaks of love. Now, I want you to think about this very clearly. In 1 John 3:1 and in 1 John 4:8, we see that God is called love, and God loves his children. The very nature of God is love. Christianity is a religion of love, in that it is the only religion that presents the supreme being of the universe as love. Other pagan religions usually present their gods as angry. The love of the Father is seen many times with his ancient people, Israel, in the Old Testament. And one of the greatest passages would be Jeremiah 31:1-3 and verse 31. Again, we see the love of God mentioned there to his people. In the New Testament, one of the greatest examples or illustrations that I know of is in Luke chapter 15 with the prodigal son. We see there the focus placed upon the father. And when the son repented, remember, the son wanted his inheritance and he left. And when the son repented of his sins, he came back to the father, and the father was standing waiting and watching for him and received him back into the family. So as the Heavenly Father has shown his love to us as his children, we are to show our love to our family. The Lord Jesus Christ actually loved us sacrificially, according to Ephesians 5:2. Well, the Bible says, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. In Ephesians 5:25, husbands are commanded to love their wives sacrificially as Christ loved the church. It says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We find that in our society that feminism has tried to remove the biblical concept of God the Father and the Father's role in the home. It has left many women without a husband, without a protection, without someone earning a living for them, and they're earning their own living. Pagan cultures devalue women, but genuine Christianity elevates the status of women and gives them their due respect. We need to understand the importance of the truth of the fatherhood of God. We cannot have a proper understanding of biblical Christianity until we have a proper understanding of biblical fatherhood. And so in closing, I'd like to read Romans chapter 5 in reference to the greatest display of love all through the scripture and throughout history is in Romans chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. Notice as we read from this passage, it said in verse 5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. This is the love of God, sending his only begotten Son into the world to save us through his blood that was shed at Calvary's cross. He died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again the third day, again, according to the scripture. Romans 8, verse 39 says, "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amazing statement. God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die for our sins at Calvary. I pray that we will think about this here today. If you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we will confess with our mouth that Christ Jesus died for our sins and believe in our heart this truth, then God has promised that he would save us. We're all sinners. We're sinners by nature. And we find that Christ died for our sins that we might have eternal life. I beg of you today, if you're not saved, to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Acts 20:21 says, "Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his life. He shed his blood." This is the love of God. This is the love of the Father, that he sent his only begotten Son to die for you and I. Put your faith and trust in him, and God has promised to save you. And then, if you are a Christian, look at the subject of the fatherhood of God. Rejoice in this, that you have a relationship with him. He loves you. He loves you. This is what God declares in his Bible. Well, our time is just about come and gone again. We want to thank you for listening to the broadcast. If you've been blessed through the broadcast, we'd love to hear from you. If you've been saved through the broadcast, or you've just been encouraged through it, we'd love to hear from you. Send us a letter, send us a note. This would be encouraging to myself as well as the church here. Well, again, we thank you for listening. We hope that you'll take advantage of the resources. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
You have been listening to Victory Bible Time with Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. The address, Victory Baptist Church, P.O. Box 257, Codin, Alabama, 36523. Location in Codin, Alabama, on Bellengrass Road, about 3 miles south of Bellengrass Gardens. Times of services, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Again, thank you for listening to Victory Bible Time, Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. on WOSM FM 103.1. Until next time, may the Lord's blessings be upon you.